Hey, it's Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up, it is the newest scandal in Major League Baseball and maybe the worst attempt at a lie in the history of sports. Plus, Shannon Spake and John Paul Morosi stop by to talk MLB, also NASCAR. And by the way, Shannon, talk about one-upping Brady Quinn. We'll get into all of that. We've got the latest on the college football playoff expansion, plus Aaron Rodgers. How bad of a spot has Devontae Adams been put in? All of that coming up next here. Outkick the Coverage, Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We will be connecting with the great Brady Quinn here momentarily. Some technical difficulties. Now, I don't know if this is anything to do with Major League Baseball's latest scandal and they're pissed off at Brady Quinn. We've already talked about it. I mean, you got college football coaches and athletic directors that are pissed off at Brady Quinn because how dare Fox exercise their broadcast rights and want to actually show college football games in which a lot of people can actually watch them in a better time slot. So whether you got a college football coach from the Pac-12 or an athletic director from the Big 12, there have been people that are not too happy with Brady Quinn. We don't even want to have the discussion again about what he did to a raccoon who was apparently defecating in his pool. He had that thing trapped in a cage. He's going to get, I'm sure, a lawsuit from PETA at some point or another. But nonetheless, there is a scandal in Major League Baseball. And this scandal involves a set of players who have had a distinct advantage for quite some time. And then you've got another set of players who are tired of hearing about how they're not any good at their job, and that's why this has picked up a little bit of steam. So is Brady Quinn with us here on Fox Sports Radio? Has he gotten his technical issues figured out, or has Major League Baseball pulled the plug on him all the way around?
MLB is still blocking Brady.
All right, so Brady Quinn still being blocked by Major League Baseball. Just a stunning development here. This is the situation. Major League Baseball's got an offense problem. All right. Now, normally we would not ever begin a show with Major League Baseball, but when you've got a scandal this juicy, you got to, yeah, I mean, you got to play the hits. I mean, this is Sports Talk Radio Gold, and so we will be playing Sports Talk Radio Gold here to start the show. You've got a set of players in Major League Baseball. Those players are the hitters who have been told for the past several seasons, you're not any good at your job. All you care about is hitting home runs. The averages are low. And because of that, there's a lot of guys who probably look at their numbers, their career stats. They look at their ability to get a big time contract and they go, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Launch angles, all the other garbage that Major League Baseball and these stat heads and nerds like to roll out. You got players in baseball that are upset about it. And they're trying to figure out a solution. And baseball realizes we got an offense problem. And I don't know if it's the fact that we had like 10 no-hitters in a matter of 48 hours earlier this season. But nonetheless, you've got batters in Major League Baseball who are tired of hearing about their issues that they can't get anything done. Now, we have pulled a couple of strings. We have talked with Major League Baseball. We've promised them we're not going to go over the top mocking your ridiculous, scandalous sport. We're not going to do it. Just so we could have Brady Quinn on the air. So we wanted to play nice. So Brady Quinn, we have gotten approval from Major League Baseball, so you should be ready to go here, and we should be, the coast is clear for everybody involved.
Is it safe to come out?
Is
it safe at this point? There's been a lot of threats going on this morning so far. Is it safe?
I believe that it is safe. I believe this is a new day in Major League Baseball. The batter is finally having his say, finally getting a little bit of revenge. And now pitchers are going to be held accountable for this quote-unquote sticky situation going on in MLB.
Or a slick situation, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Let me begin by asking you this, and I'm not going to ask you about you outing me for PETA coming after me with the raccoon situation and all that. I'm not going to talk about that.
They're not listening anyways.
I'm not going to talk about how, you know, the comments we talked about yesterday in regards to David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, what he had to say about early start times, you know, in the central time zone when you schedule a game that to begin the season on national TV, you're upset about it. I don't know. It's kind of odd. But still, this is blown up in Major League Baseball. And I do wonder if we're making it a bigger deal than it actually is, only because of this. If something has gone on for decades, maybe a half century, maybe a century, and that's sort of the impression that I get listening to some of the players talk, like, hey, this is something that's gone on forever.
Yeah.
And there's a way of manipulating the ball in some fashion or form. I mean, I remember being in high school playing baseball, and as a pitcher, if you could get the game balls before the game, you would do the best you could to try to raise the seams of the baseball. So we would go through and take like a penny or a coin, and we would literally try to brush them up as best we could, because those balls typically don't travel quite as well, and you're going to be able to get a better grip and create more spin, making it harder to hit, harder to identify the ball when you throw it. Like, that's one of the biggest things about spin rate, why people are like, well, why does that matter? Other than us being able to tell whether or not you have more or less. The higher the spin rate, the more the pitch will move, and the more the pitch is harder to see for a batter to distinguish what it is. So that's more of the reasoning why it's so important if someone's enhancing their spin rate as far as movement and as far as identifying what pitch it is. So this has been going on forever. And honestly, like in high school, when guys would do that, and I learned looking from older pitchers, you know, putting stuff on the brim of their cap or whatever else, you're kind of sitting there thinking, oh, okay, this must be allowed. You know, now PEDs always get a bad rep. And I think you pointed out a great point. This is how I always felt during the Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa's. You could take all the juice you want.
Yeah.
That's still not going to help you put the bat on the ball.
It's like taking a bunch of PEDs and not working out and then saying, am I going to get bigger? No, you got to actually do the work. It's not like it's just this ultimate cheat code to where you can take it and you just go out there and all of a sudden, magically, the ball might go 15 feet farther. Maybe something that was a double off the wall ended up being a home run. I'm not going to discount that. And I do understand that there is an element to this, that there are probably some guys who have every right to be upset because they think maybe their roster spot was taken away by a guy who went on the gas and ended up getting called up when they didn't get their opportunity to. I think all of that is fair. All of that is a fair discussion. But Major League Baseball has had issues throughout the course of time. And I don't know, to your point, I don't know if this is something passed down from one generation to the next. But I'll just say this, okay? Have you ever lied before? All right?
Yes.
Yes. I have lied too. All right. Yeah. Now, I try not to lie as much as possible. It's been a long time since I've just flat out lied. I mean,
How about this? Last lie you told, because I know the last time you lied to me, okay,
which
was when you told me, okay, to buy a squatty potty because you said it changed your life.
I'll repeat that.
You said it changed your life and that you could now buy white underwear because before that, you were having some issues.
Yes.
And white underwear was off the table until you got a squatty potty. So you told me that.
That's fair.
I feel like that was an absolute lie.
No, that's fair. I mean, because if I feel a little bit frisky and I want to wear some white linen pants in the summertime, you can't go with dark drawers underneath. You got to go white, so it doesn't look that awkward. So
especially if you want to eat some like chicken wings, right? Like boneless chicken
100%.
Wings, yeah, that'd be a problem.
And God forbid you walk into a chili cook-off. Next thing you know, you got all sorts of issues.
Do those not happen at like the fall or winter time? Well, why do those always happen in the summer?
I don't know. It is very bizarre. It's an excuse to drink. Listen, you and I could have this. This will be something that we can do, definitely during the real summer months when we don't want to talk about baseball anymore because there's no more scandals. But is chili a soup? I believe chili is a soup. And if it is, it's the best soup of all time. I don't want to hear anybody even throw out clam chowder or anything else like that. Ooh, but that's a whole other discussion all the way around. The reason I ask
is not a soup, dude.
Okay, well, listen. Again,
you
we can
put it on
that.
A hot dog. It's not a soup, dude.
Hey, you know what? You could put clam chowder on a hot dog, too. Like, well, what do you want from me? Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Can you put clam chowder on a hot dog?
You can. Chunky clam chowder you could put on a hot dog. You can't.
Chunky clam chowder?
Yes. You can put it on a hot dog. Let me tell you something. You can put relish on a hot dog or sauerkraut on a hot dog. You can put clam chowder on a hot dog if you choose to. I don't do it, but there's some weird people out there.
I do see the point you're making, but it's a bit odd.
Okay.
It is always grouped with soups. I mean, if you look on the menu, it's always, you know, soups and chili will be under there if they have chili. And I don't know. Now I'm actually perplexed. I think we need to dig into this a little bit deeper.
Okay, and we can dig into it deeper. But here's the bigger point. The reason why I ask if you've ever lied before is because I know that I'm not a great liar. But I also know when somebody else is not very good at lying either. And I say all that to say this. Gerrit Cole of the New York Yankees, very wealthy man, very, very good pitcher. Maybe the worst liar I've ever heard in my life. This was a conversation he had yesterday about spider tack, which is the new, I guess, sticky substance that is being investigated by Major League Baseball. So, of course, Gerrit Cole's one of these guys like Trevor Bauer, who's been rumored to be involved in this stuff. And whether these rumors are true, who knows? MLB is going to investigate. But Ken Davidoff, who covers baseball for the New York Post, asked him the question yesterday. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know how bad your lies have ever been, but they don't even come close to this gem from Gerrit Cole.
Have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. I mentioned earlier, there's, you know, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, you know, teams. And so if MLB wants to, you know, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction on this.
I mean, he makes Jussie Smollett look like Mother Teresa. That was unbelievable what he came up with there.
Let me ask you this. Where were we at on that in that situation, by the way?
Where, Jussie Smollett?
With Jussie Smollett.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not convinced his name's not Justin.
Can we get Clay on to talk about that? I feel like Clay would dive right into that.
Well, I mean, it'll be a two-part hit when he comes on. We can talk about the Julio Jones trade as well, too.
There we go.
We'll get that.
If that's your explanation, that's how you start off in telling a lie to your wife, to your significant other, how fast is all your clothes and your stuff outside?
Let me tell you something. If I tried to pull that same song and dance with my wife, I'd have jumper cables to my nipples.
Can we go back and play just the beginning of the I don't like as soon as you start stuttering and as soon as you start having a hard time completing a sentence, it's over. Like, it is over.
Yeah, okay? let's count how many stutters here. All right, everybody, keep score here at home. This is a Gerrit Cole stuttering game. Let's count how many we've got here on Fox Sports Radio. Take it away.
Have you ever used spider tack while pitching?
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest. You notice how he kept building further into the sentence. Like, I I don't.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't know if I.
like, that was nine.
I got nine, too.
It was almost like a little kid trying to write their first complete sentence on a piece of paper. Like, they started off slowly. Like, okay, I, next line, I don't, next line, I don't know.
God. It's the best. I've never heard it. Like, that right there just goes to tell you, yeah, we got a problem. And, well, and
okay, but back to the original question. Is this as big as the PED era, even if it's as rampant as it may seem? Is this worse than PEDs to you? Is this the equivalent, even though it's, again, you've got guys who are trying to get better grips on bats. There's always been pine tar discussion and talk, yes, and so forth, yep, or corked bats. Now we've got pitchers and baseballs, and I don't know why we're not looking at the variations of baseballs throughout the years. There's years when the laces are up a little more and the baseballs are tighter. And so where does this fall in line for you?
I think this is worse cheating than PEDs. I mean that, and I think this is worse than what the Astros were doing. I swear to God. I think when you are having direct impact on something in the field of play, the Astros are telling these players, okay, this is the pitch that's coming. You still need to hit it. These guys are actually using a substance on the ball in the field of play. This is direct violation to me. And if it turns out that, well, this has been going on for years and years and years, and that's what everybody keeps saying, then at this point, I say, screw it. Let it all be legal. PEDs, you name it. I mean, if we're just going to go back to, yeah, but this has been passed down from generation to generation. It's like, all right, man. Well, I mean, you know, I guess so is heart disease. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is here. But just hearing that leads me to believe that this is going to be a much bigger issue than anybody actually thought it was. It's comical now. And I think there's going to be many more players implicated than we originally thought. I really do.
I'm sure there is, but as you know, players will adjust.
Of course.
I mean, I think Bill Bellamy said this best in How to Be a Player. True players adjust. All right?
That's a great point.
And that's what it's a great movie. And that's what's going to happen at some point. That the players adjust to whatever they need to try to find that edge. That's what I think is the hardest thing. And I know we talked about this the other week about Bill Cowher and him discussing, you know, how his resume or career would have been different.
Yeah.
If they had beaten the New England Patriots, if, you know, Deflategate wasn't potentially something that kept them from winning a Super Bowl or more. And he just said, look, you're going to try to find an edge in any way possible. And I think that's what we're seeing in baseball. That's what we see in professional sports all the time. If it's not this, it's going to be something else. It's going to become really, really hard to always crack down on. I mean, Jacob DeGrom, who a lot of players have come out and advocated for and said, look, this guy is not doctoring any of his balls. He's the truth. He's the real deal. But then even when you go back and analyze the video,
yes,
you see him at times kind of grab his belt. You see him at times make other gestures. And I'll just say this, as someone who, you know, played baseball all throughout my life up until I got to college, is it is a very habitual sport. So whatever routine you get in, and especially if you're playing well, and I don't care if it's superstitious or whatever you want to call it, you are going to continue to keep doing that. And so it may look like there's something going on even when there's not. So I think this is going to be a lot harder to implement, to cover, to try to eradicate and get rid of, because players will always be adjusting, but there's also going to be some natural habitual things they do that I don't even know if they necessarily are trying to cheat. It's almost like they've done it for so long, they don't know how to adjust from it.
Yeah, it's just an amazing, amazing story. By the way, we are going to catch up with John Paul Morosi coming up later on in the show. MLB Insider, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider. We will find out the latest on who's being investigated. And I tried to ask him a week ago. I'm going to ask him again. Who's doing it? All right, who's doing it? And can he see about getting me some spider tack? Because I would like to use it for some personal things going on in my life. But again, I don't want to get into all that here.
I don't think that'd be helpful.
Well, whatever. You know,
I don't think you want... And I don't think you want more friction. I think you want less.
All right. That's not what I'm... Okay. Well, here we go. All right. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. This is Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, though, Outkick the Coverage here on FSR. There is somebody, a friend of the show, who completely outdid Brady Quinn. You will not believe the one-upsmanship that took place. We will get into all of that for you. Outkick the Coverage next year, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
A little over 10 minutes from now here on FSR, I have a question to pose to Brady Quinn in regards to a story that was in the NFL just yesterday. Very interesting story.
Sounds juicy.
It is. It involves a rookie quarterback, because if we are to believe this is a sign of the future.
I think I saw what you saw. Yeah.
If we are to believe that this is a sign of the future, then my God, all hell will break loose. We will get into that ridiculous NFL storyline coming up here later on in the hour. Right now, though, always kind enough to join us here. She is a friend of the program. She is Shannon Spake of Fox Sports. Always one of our favorites here on FSR. Shannon, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I was actually the subject of a Jonas Knox coming up tease?
Yeah, can you imagine that?
Nobody does it better than you, Jonas, and I'm not just blowing smoke here.
Hey, you know what?
I literally wait until the next segment. Like, what is he talking about? I can't wait to hear what he's talking about. And I'm just honored that I was part of one of those come up teases.
How'd that feel, Brady? Sorry about that, Shannon. Just wanted to I had to clear my throat there for a minute. Now here's
F8 that, by the way. Did we save that?
All right.
I do want to know why Jonas, like, when the start of the show happens, it's like Jonas Knox and first round draft pick and Notre Dame quarterback Brady Quinn. Like,
hey, I never asked for that. It's always been that way. I hate it, and I hate more than that is the buildup that Jonas gives by feeling he needs to introduce me instead of just saying, what's up, man?
I mean, listen, if we're going to do it, Shannon, it's like WrestleMania. I mean, you could have a match, but if we're going to have a match, I want costumes, I want fireworks, I want all of it. So it's got to be done that way. Now, I don't mean to start a fight here on the air. This is the last thing I want to do, Shannon Spake. I don't want to have this sort of a conversation here to start out anybody's morning, but I will say this. We opened up the show yesterday because Brady Quinn was very proud of the fact that he caught a raccoon that have been crapping in his pool and his neighbor's pools for the past several weeks. Big storyline on the show. Brady Quinn felt like just a real man catching this raccoon with Twizzlers and cat food. And then I go onto Twitter yesterday, and Shannon Spake, I don't know if you had heard that portion of the program, but you decided to flex a little bit and one-up Brady Quinn's catching of an animal with a story from your own husband. I'll let you explain to the audience.
Yeah, so I actually follow Alicia on Instagram, so I'm very well versed in the bandit situation and what's going on at the Quinn household. So and I think it's hilarious. But so last night, we live here on Lake Norman. This time of the year, snakes, water snakes, right? They're like having babies, and they're finding their little snake homes inside. We have riprap all along, like our water line. And so that's like rocks, right? It's like all these rocks, and they love to live in there. Well, I've gone out there and like put mothballs out there this year because I swim in the lake. I train for triathlons in this lake. And my biggest fear, obviously, is like swimming up on a snake, which would, I don't think I would ever be, I would just die. So last night we're sitting there having dinner, and a couple of nights ago, I saw a snake right by the water line. It was dusk, and it was like right there. And I screamed to my husband, and he runs down there, and he couldn't get it. And we actually have one of these like snake catchers. It's like it's almost like a jaw kind of thing where you can catch it.
Huh.
So I'm like, I know this snake is coming back. I know it's coming back. So my eyes have been focused on this area of the lake for like the last two nights, right around dusk time. Well, sure enough, last night we're sitting there. All of a sudden, I'm like, snake! So my husband runs down there, and it's a good like 30-yard run. So he does this after like a 30-yard sprint, right? He tries to get it with like the claws. I see him throw the claws, reach in the water. All of a sudden, he flings this snake, who at first it looked like it might be like, I don't know, 6 inches a foot. This thing was like huge. It was 4 feet, at least 4 feet. He throws it up onto the beach, right? And then he grabs those claws and he gets the snake. We put it in a bag. He actually let it go in like a creek down the street because he did think that this was a mama, because he said the stomach was like really, really big. But yes, my husband reached in there Steve Irwin style and like totally grabbed the snake. I said to him last night, I go, where did you learn to do that? Like, how in the world did you learn how to just pick a snake out of the water? And he's like, I'm a guy. Like, you just know how to do that stuff. And I was like, no, you don't.
Instincts.
Because I've been a guy before, I do not know how to just, like, grab a snake out of the water.
Can you a round of applause for a real man. A real man who does there it with his go. Bare hands. He doesn't have some cage and a pack of Twizzlers at his disposal
well,
here.
Well, sorry, I wasn't going to stay up all night for a nocturnal animal. Nox.
Jeez. So that's a rabid raccoon here at my house, yes. So thankfully the snake has vacated the area just like Bandit has vacated from the Quinn's household.
Yeah, Bandit's gone. I do
Good.
Have some questions, though, about this, because I actually I was golfing the other weekend, and they warned us when we were on the course. They're like, hey, there's a lot of water moccasins out there. And we actually saw a few, which those are poisonous. Like, those can be pretty dangerous if you do get bit by one. Granted, we almost got, you know, in an altercation with an alligator or a crocodile. I'm not really sure which, but
it's
got to be an alligator down there, right?
Yeah.
See, there you go. So you grew up down here, so you know.
I do, but, and I know to stay away from the alligators, very, very far away. And like that woman on Animal Thunderdome last week, we do not try to save our dogs from alligators and from bears.
We just let them go. You just,
oh, yeah.
Yes, that's why we have them. To protect us.
but my question is this. So when you go train for these triathlons, I would imagine, like, snakes, all that kind of stuff, it's somewhat common. What's the scariest thing you've ever come across in training for something like that? Is it a snake? Is it something worse? Have you gone swimming, like, in the open ocean?
I got bit by jellyfish or stung by jellyfish really, really bad one time. It was really bad. And I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, and I never got stung by a jellyfish. And then I was in, like, Myrtle Beach. Actually, I don't think it was. I think it was, like, Hilton Head. And it just, they got me all up and down my leg, and it was, that was that. I've been really fortunate. I did a race out in Santa Rosa, California, a couple of years ago, and they said because of the wildfires, a lot of the rattlesnakes had come down from the mountain and were actually, like, in the lake. I have to close my eyes when I swim in those lakes, like, because the fact that I can't see anything, like, 2 feet in front of my face, like, really bugs me out. So I just close my eyes and I go all in and just can't see anything.
Yeah. Well, listen, that sounds like just a terrifying situation for me. Shannon Spake of Fox Sports joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Now, we do want to ask you, obviously, about this weekend. The NASCAR All-Star event is taking place this weekend. Mm-hmm. I do have some questions for you on that, but I've got to get your thoughts on. We were discussing to open the show the Gerrit Cole Major League Baseball sticky substances they're using on base. It's another cheating scandal in Major League Baseball that's on the brink of really exploding, and they've got all these different players that are going to be held accountable. I'm not asking you to out anybody in NASCAR. That's not, I don't even want to go there, but I just want to ask you this. If you wanted to cheat in NASCAR, how would you do it? Like, if you wanted to get an advantage, what would you do? Would you put sugar in the gas tank? Would you how could you pull something like that off at a NASCAR race?
The motto in racing is if you're not cheating, you're not trying. That's been the motto for decades, because it's all about working in the gray areas, because that's the only way that you can get an advantage over your competitor. So, yeah, these crew chiefs are constantly pushing the envelope. But the thing that NASCAR has done as of late is the pre-race inspection, the post-race inspection, all of those, they're done by lasers now. So it's cut and dry. It's like you're either in tolerance or you're out of tolerance. So they've made it a little more difficult. But there's a famous video clip. So Jimmy Johnson was getting ready to race at Talladega, and he had an in-car camera, and the camera was, like, sort of like pointed right towards him, and his crew chief leans in the car, like, to kind of say, like, hey, good luck, buddy. And he's like, whatever you do, if you win, you gotta slam the back of this car. And Jimmy, like, looks at the camera and, like, looks back at his crew chief and is like, buddy, we got a camera right here, you know? And he's like, kind of like, no, no, no. And he's like, you have to hit the back of the car. And it was one of those things where everyone's like, oh my goodness, what are we looking at? And obviously they won seven championships, so they did get over that small little moment. But yeah, it's all about competitive advantage in racing. And there are times where guys fail inspection, crew chiefs go home on a every other weekend we send a crew chief home for failing three times in a row, or a car chief home. So it happens, absolutely. It's about it. I mean, you have to get a competitive advantage. You know, Brady, I mean, it's all about that small little competitive advantage to get the best on your competitors.
Yeah, and I think the hard thing is where you as an organization, as a team, as an individual draw the line. And that's always the interesting thing to see. Look, you Shannon, you've covered a lot of different sports. Is it easier in certain sports in your mind, like NASCAR as compared to other sports that you've covered, to cheat? Like, is there one sport where you're like, yeah, I feel like I've kind of witnessed more maybe in that sport than others? Or maybe, and I'm not even saying cheating, but the ability to bend the rules a little bit.
Yeah, I think that with all, like, I mean, it's harder nowadays, right? I mean, I think we can all agree with that, because there's cameras everywhere. There are people everywhere. You know, you don't get closed practices as much anymore. And obviously, like I mentioned, the strict rules that NASCAR has, especially with we're getting a next-gen car next year. And that's just going to take it one more step into the future of us not being able to sort of push the limits or move into those gray areas. But it is, it's fractions and hundredths and one-thousandths of an inch that can give you that advantage. I don't know if it's easier or if it's harder in NASCAR, and I don't know if I've seen blatant examples of cheating in terms of, like, other sports. But I think that I wouldn't even say it's like cheating. It's just trying to find an advantage.
Shannon, before we let you go, tell us about this Sunday at 6 Eastern time on FS1 from Fort Worth and Texas Motor Speedway. What can we expect?
Yeah, so it's our last race. It's unbelievable. Like, we do the first portion of the season, and then we hand it over to NBC for the second portion of the season for NASCAR, because, of course, we have 36 races. And so this is the All-Star event, and this is the first year we're closing on the All-Star event. It's the best of the best, and they have a 100-lap race with a 10-lap shootout at the end of that 100-lap race. $1 million on the line for the winner, $900,000 of that goes to the driver, $100,000 of that goes to the fastest pit crew. It's a lot of fun. It's just a fast race, a mile and a half track. Eddie Gossage down there at Texas Motor Speedway, he does it the best. He's just a big showman, and everything is bigger and greater, and it's going to be such a cool event. We actually just won our first Emmy last night for studio design.
Right.
I thought I saw that. I thought I saw that. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's such a big deal, because we are like a niche show, right? I mean, we cover NASCAR, and for us to go out there and win a sports Emmy for studio design for our virtual studio, it's a really big deal. We're all really excited.
That's awesome. Well, she's one of our favorites. Get her on Twitter at Shannon Spake. Shannon, good luck this weekend. We always appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, Shannon.
Yeah, tell Bandit's little buddies when they show up that we said hello. Because they're coming, Brady. They're coming.
I know. Unbelievable. I know. Trust me.
You're the best. Thanks, Shannon.
All right. Take care, guys.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Brady, nobody really knows whether or not Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good quarterback. I mean, he's got all the tools, right? I mean, he's one of the better prospects you've seen in a long time, right?
I would venture to say this. Yeah, I actually think he's probably the best prospect that I've seen in my lifetime. And I know a lot of people will compare, well, what about him to Andrew Luck? I think he is a better athlete than Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck was a really good athlete, but Trevor Lawrence is even a notch above that. So he's one of the more natural passers that I've seen. And I think in the right situation, circumstance, there's no doubt he would be a Super Bowl winning quarterback, maybe multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback. He just has that sort of skill set. But the question becomes, are the Jacksonville Jaguars going to be that team? And that is yet to be seen, just because with what Urban Meyer is doing as their head coach, it's a completely different approach than what they've done in the past since they've come into the league as an expansion team. So there's still so much more we need to find out. However, I think you put them on a great football team, you're going to get great results.
Yeah, and I would also say the one big difference between Trevor Lawrence and, you know, possibly some would look at this as an advantage over Andrew Luck is that Trevor Lawrence doesn't sound like Andre the Giant like Andrew Luck does. So I think that's also another really key portion of this conversation I think we should point out.
That is true. However, there have been a lot of comparisons to Trevor Lawrence with his hair and everything else and what he looks like. So
yeah, no,
then there's that side of the conversation.
I mean, Andrew Luck, after games, he sounded like he was eating his own neck. I got to be honest. With you. It was very bizarre. But listen, I don't know why you spin me off into those directions. Like, I don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I triggered that in you. Yeah. I know I wound you up a little bit to get you to this point.
Right.
But the thing I love the most when you get a lot of these rookie quarterbacks that are drafted is the box score counting.
Oh, yes.
And OTAs and minicamp. That's what I love the best about
it. I love it. It is a tradition unlike any other. And there was a report making the rounds yesterday that Trevor Lawrence at practice threw a couple of pick sixes. Can you believe it? A couple of pick sixes being reported on from Trevor Lawrence. So, Brady, I mean, this spells nothing but doom and gloom for the Jacksonville Jaguars because, God forbid, you turn the ball over in practice where, you know, you're working on stuff and this is where mistakes can sometimes happen. I cannot believe that this is actually reported on and that and media members wonder why coaches and teams don't want them at their practices when they're going over stuff. It's crap like this and it pisses me off. It really bothers me.
I'm going to take you behind the scenes for a second. One of the biggest reasons why, to your point, coaches hate having media there during practices is because the media will make it seem like you won or lost after a day like yesterday. And obviously it's going to look like an L because of what was reported and how he practiced. And there's some fans or people who are going to say, well, you know, that's expected. He's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. There's others who are like throwing the towel. I never expect him to ever throw an interception. There's people who have that sort of high expectation. Coaches want you to focus on the process. Coaches want you to focus on what you're trying to accomplish in that given day. And there's times there's going to be bad results. But as long as you learn from them and improve from them and come out on the other side better from them, it's going to be all good in the end. The issue with the media is when they're always pointing out the negative or even the praise, it starts to distract you from the process. And it starts to distract you from, instead of working on the little, you know, nuances or small details, minute details that they're asking you to, it gets you to focus on the outcome. And that's like the biggest thing, I think, with any player who's still developing within the sport, which obviously Trevor Lawrence is, a lot of young players are, not just rookies, by the way, guys who've only been in the NFL for, you know, 2 years, even sometimes 3 years, they're still trying to figure it out. And so that is one of the biggest detriments to any coach throughout the process of what they're doing is trying to make sure the athlete is focused, especially this time of year, not on the results, not on the outcome, but on the process. And so that's why they try to keep the media out, because that stuff, it gets out there, it starts to gain a little, you know, steam, and it ends up being, you know, it ends up getting in the head of the player, ends up, you know, persuading the fan base one way or another. It's just not worth it, and it's obviously not to the prerogative of what the coach wants.
Can you imagine if these writers that cover NFL teams, could you imagine if their editor published all their rough drafts? Just said, hey, by the way, this is what he was working on today, just to let you guys know. Like, nobody would ever do that. It doesn't happen in any other walk of life where you judge somebody based on their preparation. Like, it doesn't even make sense, but yeah. We do it here. I don't get it. I really don't get
it. It's so bad. Imagine if that's your job, though. Like, that's what I feel worse for is, like, when people, that's their job. They're like, oh, we need the guy to come in and be the pitch count, the box score guy for OTAs and training camp practices.
Yeah, we'll try being the rat at Chuck E. Cheese. All right, you want to live a life? Live that life, Brady Quinn. And you ain't locking me in a cage, homeboy.